A handful of researchers will be heading to Wyoming to study global warming events as part of a 5-year project called the Green River Eocene Earth Observatory. They'll be trying to figure out how earlier warming events impacted the planet and the environment. NAU geologist Michael Smith is one of those researchers heading east, and he joins me. And Michael, what do you hope to find out by looking at warming events from a long time ago, and what might that tell us about the state of the Earth now?
The Earth has gone through a lot of different changes over the course of 4.6 billion years, and there's a sort of an issue with trying to understand warm climates, which are actually pretty common in the Earth's past, because we can't really run an experiment to see what will happen. But there are periods of time pretty recently, and at least in a geologic sense, say about 50 million years ago, in which the Earth had significantly more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and the temperatures were much, much warmer than they are today. And the point of studying this period of time really is to try to understand how the Earth system responds. Is it hot everywhere all the time? Are there variations once it's really hot? If we can look at a record, a detailed record from this period of time, we might be able to understand some of the processes and effects that we're going to experience and our children's children will experience in the future.
How detailed a record do you anticipate you'll be able to get?
So the total record, and for Arizona listeners, you can think of the Grand Canyon as sort of an example. The strata or the rock layers that are in the Grand Canyon are approximately, there's about 400 million years exposed there. The rocks at the Green River Formation expose about 4 million years, and they are about 400 meters thick, so about a third of a mile thick. And in general, these are finely layered rocks. So if you were to walk up to them, some of the individual laminations or layers within the rocks are only a millimeter or less thick. And those are generally about a year long. One way to think of it is your listeners may be familiar with some of the fossil fish that come out of the Green River Formation. This comes from a lake that was in southwest Wyoming, which if you went there today, it's a very cold, windy climate. A lot of the fossils that come out of there are fossils of fish, but people have also found fossils of monkeys and fossils of crocodiles and palm trees. And so if you can imagine Rock Springs, Wyoming as sort of a tropical paradise, that's basically the degree of difference we're talking about.
Well, that's one of the really interesting factors of this, I think, is that you're going to study an extreme heating event in a place that I don't think anybody would consider, warm, much less hot.
Indeed, yeah. There are some more extreme examples of this. If you go to Ellesmere Island, which is up in northern Canada, there's pretty good evidence from fossils that there were forests and there were arboreal animals that lived up there. It was fully in the Arctic, so it's parts of the year it would have been completely dark, but it never would have froze. So it was a pretty extreme period of time in Earth history. And if we go to the tropics at the time, basically records that people have tried to get out of northern Africa, it looks very much like the temperatures were higher than probably would have been survivable by mammals.
Obviously, the conditions and, there are a lot of differences between the Earth, 50 some odd million years ago and now. I'm wondering, based on what you find, how applicable the lessons might be to 2019.
Yeah. So, it's one thing to say, it was very hot at the time and Wyoming was different than it is now. But one of the things that we're trying to do, there are preserved river deposits in the record that essentially it's a giant lake, that sat in between all the Rocky Mountain ranges. And there were rivers that fed that lake. And there are enough deposits of those rivers around that we could measure basically the ancient stream channels that are within them and develop sort of a paleo flood record. And one of the things that we've noticed is that the river channels get larger, much larger during the period of time when there is this warming event. And so one prediction of some climate models is that the rainstorms in general will contain a lot more rain, and potentially flooding could be more severe.
So are you looking more for like warning signs, or do you think that you'll be able to figure out maybe things that people can do or steps that people or governments or someone else can take to try to slow down the kind of changes that we're seeing, or maybe just a sense of what's to come and then what's to come after that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there are any direct sort of take-home messages other than we probably shouldn't let carbon dioxide concentrations rise a whole lot higher than they are now. But by looking at the river deposits, we can make some estimates about potentially some of what we would say are, say, 1,000-year floods today might become like 100-year floods in the future. And so we may want to think about building infrastructure that's resilient to larger hydrologic inputs. We want to understand how the climate system, how variable it was. So it might, in one scenario, everything would just get warmer everywhere, and you know, you'd be able to grow oranges in Canada and that sort of thing. In another scenario, it might become extremely variable. And so in a scenario like that, it'd be really hard to predict. You know, it might be a drought for 100 years, and it might be, you know, torrential rains for 100 years. So by looking at this record and seeing just sort of how stable a warm climate is, that's another sort of way to think about, you know, what sort of impacts we might see in the future.
All right. That's Michael Smith. He's a geology professor at Northern Arizona University. Michael, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Great talking to you, Mark.